sound so-so, we don't you agree?
We
I invented sweat. Popping bottles, putting supermodels in the cab. Proof. I guess I got my swagger back. Truth. New watch alert. New blows. All the big face rolly, I got two of those. Arm out the window through the city, y'all maneuver slow. Cut back, snap back, see my cut through the holes.
Damn, Easy and Hope, where the hell you been? Niggas talking real reckless, stuck man. I adopted these niggas, Philip Drummond in. Now I'm about to make them tuck their whole summer in. They say I'm crazy, but I'm about to go dumb again. They ain't see me cause I pulled up in my other bins.
Week I was in my other bands. Oh, I don't know. I think this.
Were you in your other bands?
I was in the other bands, not the other Chevy. Could this be 140, or are we accurate on the numbers here?
The latter.
The latter. Okay, yeah. 139 Muda scale. My man, Bad News Ramen. Better have my donuts over here.
Repping the Latrell Sprewell.
Latrell Sprewell. It doesn't seem like he was trolling, man. That's your boy, man. You might have to reevaluate over here.
No, Latrell Sprewell is a troll on Twitter, dude.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he pretty much he's like saying hi to everybody.
Do you like follow him?
I don't follow trolls for the most part.
Well,
except for the fake Bobby then, Heenan, but he blocked me. So
well, then how did you know he was a troll then?
Because I think someone retweeted something that he said. Or they probably try to troll him, and then I looked at his account, and he pretty much gives like shouts to everybody. Okay. So yeah, that makes you a troll.
Well, giving a shout out.
No. I'm talking like.
Are you saying that makes me a troll?
No. It's like everybody he knows, and like, I mean, when all of your tweets are like saying like "what up" to someone and stuff, I mean, that makes you a troll, dude. You know. I don't think he knows what a troll is. Latrell.
Latrell. I don't think that.
Latrell.
I don't think that just sending shout outs to everyone you know makes you a troll.
No, he's a troll.
I'm not saying he isn't, but I'm saying that wouldn't be what would make one a troll.
You're just trying to protect yourself, don't you?
Because no.
You're shouting out to everybody, right?
Oh yeah, that's what I do.
Rick Watt, I'm your biggest fan.
Oh, is that what he does?
No, okay. I don't know. He doesn't do that.
He says,
I'm saying that's what you do.
Oh yeah, and I'm like, yo, Riker, you forgot the ice.
Well, you remember when you first got on Twitter and like you realized that you could like talk to anybody, you know, like that you wanted to, you know, like people that you've liked for a long time, and like. So you shout, you know, you like try to say hi to someone, you know, like a star per se, you know, because that's like what you do. Well, I mean,
no.
You did. I mean, there's a couple times you did, you know.
I don't recall.
Well, I don't want to bring it up, but that's why I said Raekwon, you know, like, hey, Raekwon, what's up? You know, you did something like that. But that was like in your infancy, right? That was like when you first started. So I ain't holding that against you.
Okay.
But I understand he's stuck in that mode. For like the past like 3 months.
I don't know, but it's Latrell. You know,
I don't know.
He's famous, man. He might actually know these people.
Irvin Magic Johnson.
He's famous.
He's famous.
Or Isaiah Thompson.
There might be an Isaiah Thompson now. You never know.
All right. Well, we are fresh off the heels of Fastlane, which
by no means was at the start of this podcast. It was going in the slow lane, but now we're going to fast lane.
Yes, life in the fast lane, but I don't even know. I mean,
that was a Scarface song, "Life in the Fast Lane."
Scarface
of the Ghetto Boys.
Oh well, yes. There was also like a kind of 70s.
Actually, I'm going to tweet it out right now.
Funk song.
What up? We put you in our pocket.
Hey, Mr. Scarface.
Hey, Fred. Who is this? Fred?
Who the fuck is Fred?
Hey, whoa! No cussing.
That was a direct quote. So I mean, I was thinking we would probably start talking about Fastlane, but you know, off of what happened in Raw. I think that might, in a certain way, take the cake. So, you watch Raw?
Yes, I watched.
Okay.
It.
Yeah. So, I just want to go straight into that. I mean, I think we can come back and talk about Fastlane.
Okay.
But the return of Shane O'Mac. I mean, that I was taken aback there. Floored me. I did unfortunately kind of like see it on Twitter a little bit before I saw. So, kind of. Spoil the shock value for me, but you know, I like Shane McMahon quite a bit. as a character and as a performer in the ring. You know, he's put on some great matches back in his day.
Well, that's not why you're excited for him.
No, I just overall I like the guy, but I don't know, man. I you know, it seems like they took that segment and I mean it looked like there was 2 months of material that they could have like spaced that out and made that like a really big thing that they just kind of threw it into one big promo, and I don't know that like. It doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't?
Well...
That they did it all at one time?
I mean, it's like they're trying to fast-track it to cram it in for WrestleMania. But what I'm saying is, okay you're Shane McMahon, and you're, you know... I'm trying to apply logic to what's going on here, right? You're Shane McMahon, you've been away from the company for all these years, and you've secretly had, like, this control that nobody else knew about. And then you're gonna pop in out of nowhere... And just talk about how you want to secure generational wealth for, you know, your children. But you're going to put it all on a whim and on a match that Vince McMahon is going to dictate who you're going to fight and when. Like, just doesn't... It makes no sense to me why you would agree to that.
Well, I think what you're running into is a nicer, gentler Bad News Ramen. Because I would have probably cut you off right there. I totally disagree. I mean, I think if you apply logic to a wrestling storyline, I think you're barking up the wrong tree. I understand what you're saying, but I think you're missing the overall picture, right? And this is the biggest thing I took away from that was that you had a surprise appearance. I thought it was, you know, it came out of nowhere. I mean, this was like a segment that I was going to fast forward, but I was like, oh, let's, you know, it's McMahon's there. So it's like, okay, McMahon, and, you know, I know Stephanie's going to say the same stuff. It's going to be kind of more of the same, and then he comes out. But what really intrigued me, if I can sound like a scholar or something saying intriguing, but instead of just telling you the straight truth, he's going against The Undertaker. So, and it's in the Hell in a Cell. So, A lot of things throw that in there, right? It's like, so you have the Undertaker streak. It is a Hell in a Cell. So right away, I'm kind of going like, well, will Undertaker like take a fall for the guy? You know, this is like, you know, Undertaker is establishing himself after he lost to Brock Lesnar. I think Undertaker's time is pretty much done. So it'd kind of be like a nice way, I think, for the Undertaker to do. Like a real job, right? You know, for someone not to vault Shane McMahon, you know, to give him heat per se, but to really shake up the storyline of the company, you know, for the next like year or whatever. Like, I see it as an opportunity for him to like, this is how he like does a job for somebody, right? It's to further expand the storyline of this company that it's kind of in a rut, especially with the IWC, especially with kind of like, you know, nobody can beat. The authority, there's nothing that can stop the authority because nobody can beat them. And the people that are trying to beat them are these young kids that, like, say, like a Roman Reigns, say, like a Dean Ambrose, that really can't have the type of heat that, say, The Rock could generate or what Stone Cold could generate. So there's that aspect of it as well. But at the same time, it's like, okay, so if Shane loses, then what's the story going to be the next day, right? So, I mean, I think this presents an opportunity for a major storyline development. I really don't care about, you know, the logistics of it. I thought everything, I mean, that Raw, everything that was supposed to, I mean, I think we're so jaded as wrestling fans that we look at this Raw, and I think in this day and age of social media and the IWC, we poke holes in everything. And sometimes it's like, you know, like, I feel like a Jesse Ventura movie remake where Jesse Ventura like gets hit over the head, but right before he says, he's like, guys, this is wrestling. I'm like, this is wrestling. I mean, it's fake, right? I mean, don't take it so flippin' serious. And I'm not talking about you per se, but it's like, don't take the storyline so serious. Don't take like your hate towards them so serious. It's like, this is flippin' wrestling, dude. You know, it's like, if you're coming into wrestling expecting like great storylines and great plot developments and stuff, we haven't had that in a long time. I mean, and the only way you have that is when creatively there's two sides really going back and forth, two different companies going back and forth. The atmosphere isn't there for that yet. But I thought the Shane thing, I mean, it makes me think, right? And I'm sitting there going like, well, this is a reason to watch WrestleMania. And, you know, this is a reason to watch the Undertaker match. Because, you know, everybody's going like, who's the Undertaker going to face? And it's like, oh, you know, can we bring in Bray Wyatt again? Can we bring in whoever it is? And Big Show or whoever it is. It's like, dude, like, Undertaker has nobody that he can face. I don't have to watch Undertaker promos over and over again of him trying to get heat with someone. It's just, it's a match. And you know what? This is a match that I would definitely be interested in. And even if it's like, say, like a squash match or whatever it is, at least something's happening with the storyline. And it's a major storyline development. And whether Undertaker wins or loses, I think I'm going to watch the match because I want to see the Undertaker lose, right? And that's the whole point of watching a wrestling show or watching a wrestling match.
Yeah, I mean, I like Shane, and I like that Shane's back, and I have no problem with the match in itself. I think, you know, it is something new, and I think I'll be very curious to see, you know, what Shane's like in the ring, because, I mean, you know, Shane was a guy that, you know, was really good in gimmick matches, and I think, like, in like a Hell in a Cell type match, you know, in Shane's younger days, in his prime, like, I always love to see Shane in these types of matches. So I'm very curious to see, does he still have that kind of, like, you know, devil-may-care attitude and athleticism that he used to have in the ring. So, yeah, it is an interesting match to me. It's just, you know, yeah, you're right. It's a major storyline. It's something different. And being that it's a McMahon, I would think that they would, like, you know, have at least some semblance of something that makes sense to me, right? The other thing is, like, who, you know, what? Okay, so you said what? So Shane loses. What happens the next day, right? Nothing, because it would go right back to the same ownership that it's always been. So, which means, is Shane McMahon going to win, and then Undertaker takes 2 losses in 3 years in WrestleMania? I mean, yeah, sure, that's interesting. But essentially, that would make what Shane McMahon... People want Shane McMahon to win, I think, because...
you think?
Well, because you know, people are against the authority and stuff, right? But people also want The Undertaker to win because it's The Undertaker and it's WrestleMania. So, it's like there's dude... It's like a, you know... It's just like a babyface versus babyface match, which isn't necessarily the worst thing, but...
See, this is something totally that I wouldn't expect from you. Mm-hmm. I mean, right? I mean, because I'm saying, like, look at the big picture. And you're looking at the big picture, but you're looking at it within the confines of, like, you know, because you talk about, like, I want to see if Shane still has it. You have two baby faces going against each other.
Well, I just want to see the match, okay? Like, I'm saying, what I'm not saying I've been pining to know if Shane McMahon still has it in the ring. I'm curious to see, can he still do it? I'm excited for the match, I think. Like,
isn't that the point of the segment then? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, why are you looking at the logistics of it? And
because I know it's wrestling, and like logic, you know, is a relative thing.
Well, you don't have to preface what you're saying. I mean,
logic is relative in wrestling, but to me, there's no sense in why Shane McMahon would agree to that match in that moment right there. It's like he's coming out of nowhere. He's held out for 7 years, right? He's gone off. He's done his own thing. He's talking about how he's made himself his own man, and now he's going to come back and kind of save wrestling, right, from Stephanie and Triple H running it into the ground. And then he kind of even prefaces it like, you know, he wants to do this so his kids have a secure future, right? All that makes sense. Then in just one fell swoop, you just say, okay, whatever match you want, Vince, and I'll just, if I lose, then I just throw all of that out the window. Doesn't make any sense to me. So either there's got to be a big swerve in there, which that would make sense, or it just, if there's no swerve, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, how are you going to swerve The Undertaker?
I mean, exactly. So that's the thing that makes it weird. It's like, I don't think you can swerve The Undertaker. I think The Undertaker's going to be looking, or at least, you know, it would think that he's looking for the McMahons to try to screw him at every level.
But look at it from this side, is that were you really interested in WrestleMania? I mean, there's like some... I think it, like WrestleMania, it's kind of like a floating interest where... You're supposed to care about it because it's WrestleMania. It's the biggest show of the year, so you're going to watch it. But leading up to, so after, I mean, like, after Fastlane, I really, WrestleMania really didn't appeal to me. Was I going to watch it? Of course I'm going to watch it. But there really was really no vested interest in watching WrestleMania, because I think the biggest thing is that you have a guy in Roman Reigns that everybody's lukewarm on, and it's like you're watching like a lamb to a slaughter, right? It's like there's a bunch, you know, it's like watching a cow get slaughtered, because I really like this cow, but I know that he's going to try his damnedest to like escape the slaughterhouse, but he's not going to, and the fans are, you know, and it's like same thing with Roman Reigns. I like Roman Reigns, but I know people are going to boo him. They're not going to accept him as a champion. And I think I was actually thinking about it like yesterday before, because I watched it today, and I was just going like, man, like the thing that really threw the wrench and everything was like Triple H, right? Mm-hmm. Like Triple H winning that title. There's no reason for that guy to win the title. And that's where I'm really lukewarm on the WrestleMania. And what I want to say is, I'm going to say what I want to say, but I have to say what I want to say because I don't know how to flip and toss.
Style splash.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the best. I mean, you're the best, but I'm the best. But I know that you're not the best, but okay. So this match with Shane McMahon.
Do you need to ice your back?
I need to ice my back. I need to ice my eyes, man. I'm sick of these 4 a.m. starts I've been doing for the past month. The Shane McMahon match and Undertaker match. I want to watch it, not for the spectacle of it. I think it was set up right. I mean, I knew that it was going to be at WrestleMania. I was hoping that it would be that night, but I knew it was going to be at WrestleMania, the match, and I knew it was going to be a Hell in a Cell. And it's like, it wasn't like I was going like, oh, it's going to be a Hell in a Cell. I'm like, no, like, it's going to be, I'm thinking like, what type of match? Like, oh, it's going to be a Hell in a Cell. And then McMahon says, Vince McMahon says it's going to be a Hell in a Cell. I'm like, all right, that's perfect. So now there's a match that I want to watch. And then on the flip side, I thought what Triple H is pulling all the stops to get major heat by blooding up Roman Reigns. I thought that segment
blood capsule.
Yeah, it was a blood capsule, but it's an old school type tactic that I haven't seen since the 80s, and I thought it was well for them to dust that off the shelf to try to get some type of heat, because you have a main event that nobody cares about. Triple H is lukewarm at best. Like, who cares about watching Triple H? You can get some stupid fanboy to like say like, oh, you know, Triple H, you know, he's such a great wrestler and so great that he has. And it's like, dude, like your time has come and gone. And then you put him in with a guy that people have said that his time is coming, and they're fully aboard of him being the major player and being the star. But that was 3 years ago. So you have, to me, if you want to look at kind of everything that's going on, it's like you have two has-beens in the WrestleMania event. And the only reason why...
Are you referring to Roman Reigns as a has-been?
I think so. I mean, not in terms of what this guy is, but in terms of the heat, the good heat that he was getting and the fan support that he was getting at that time. You compare the fan support that he had right at the Shield, end of the Shield's heyday, and when he was with the Shield and he was eliminated everybody. He had the Royal Rumble where he eliminated everybody. Everybody was behind that, and they just drew it out. So yeah, I think he is a has-been. I mean, he needs to be repackaged, and the Roman Reigns that they want to push is a has-been because it's not working. So I don't think the blood capsule that Triple H did is saving anything, but at least there's some storyline progression. I mean, at least they're trying an old school formula way to get people to put all the heat on Triple H and try to garner some following for Roman Reigns. My biggest problem is, we want to talk about logic, is that Roman Reigns turned the corner with Vince McMahon and then they took it away from him, and especially with that Royal Rumble. So that's where I'm at, dude. You know, and here's the other big problem that I have too, is that everybody expects like great things to happen on the road to WrestleMania. Where the hell have you been for the past 5 years? The road to WrestleMania has always been boring. This is one of the better road to WrestleManias that they've had in a long time. But you know, for a fan to say like, oh, you know, it should be better than this, then you haven't been doing your homework. You just had a cup of coffee and decided to become a wrestling fan, because it's a proven fact that the past 4 or 5 years of Road to WrestleMania has been a really bad road. I think I think this one's decent. It's not as good as last year's, but yeah. Don't sit there and go like, oh, this is, you know, mm-hmm. We're supposed to be excited. I think you're drinking the Michael Cole Kool-Aid a little bit too much, mm-hmm. And for you to be a smart fan and like buy into what Michael Cole is saying, what JBL is saying, and whatever Byron Saxton or Brian Saxton or Brian Harper or whatever the guy's name is, it's kind of a waste of my time to hear you whine and complain about it.
So, I mean, you hit on several things there.
I didn't.
I think last year was a good road to WrestleMania, and I agree. I think this is a pretty good road to WrestleMania. I think the thing that I'm liking better this year is they're not, like, going to the old, like, bringing back a bunch of one-off old wrestlers. I mean, Triple H is that. It remains to be seen if Shane is that or not. Undertaker, obviously, is that. But top to bottom with the card, you know, it seems like it's mostly going to be guys that are currently.
But the Undertaker match isn't a match where you have a young up and coming guy or an established guy within the company right now doing the job for Undertaker. This is like Shane McMahon. Like the Shane McMahon right. match is a match, but it's not a wrestling match.
Yeah, yes, but still, if I'm trying to be consistent with what I've been complaining about with WrestleMania. And part of the big issue that WWE has is their refusal to build any new stars. Once again, you got a WrestleMania, and the two biggest matches that you're probably going to have in the card are Triple H and Roman Reigns, where Roman Reigns is a guy that you should theoretically be trying to build around, but Triple H is well past his prime, and you're not going to really get anything out of Triple H. And then the other main event you got is Undertaker, who wrestles more or less one match a year, and Shane, who hasn't been around in 7 years, and while he could be very integral to the story going forward, you really don't know, right? I mean, he's still a guy that came out of nowhere, where you got a bunch of young guys that you could be elevating in some way, shape, or form by putting them in prime matches at WrestleMania.
Elevating by how? I mean, who are you going to elevate, and who are they going to face to elevate? I mean that's the whole thing. It's like there's this argument, right? But and this is kind of like my whole thing with the road to WrestleMania is that they have not developed.
That's what that's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, but they haven't developed storylines to elevate anybody,
right?
And I don't think even if like you take it like a perfect case of AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho, right? Good three set of matches. They weren't mind blowing. I mean, if you compare them to like New Japan matches, they don't hold a candle to New Japan matches. My whole thing is that you have, yeah. So maybe I do agree with you, right? Maybe I do agree with you. Like, you know what? Like AJ Styles can have a New Japan style match, and I think there's a guy maybe like in Kevin Owens that can have the same type of match. There's a guy like Samoa Joe that can have a really good match with AJ Styles.
There's a guy, Finn Balor's another guy that you can bring.
So that's what you're kind
of. Well, yeah. I mean, any of these guys. I mean. Yeah, I mean, you're saying that look at what's been going on. They haven't laid the groundwork to develop any of these guys. Yeah, that's true. But what I'm saying is they should have been for several years now. Okay, and it's just more missed opportunities. It's the whole self-fulfilling prophecy of, well, we don't have any new main eventers, so we're going to rely on these.
So old guys. Where is this coming from then? I mean, that this want that you, I can't even.
Where's it coming from me?
Yeah, I mean, because you've watched the WWE product. I mean, why do you expect anything different?
I didn't say I expected anything different. I'm just saying that it's once again, the main matches are all built on guys who are either on the decline or way, way past their prime. When, as a company, you've got a ton of talent that you should be trying to build up into something that they keep not doing it. That's all I'm saying. And Shane McMahon, as much as I like Shane McMahon, he still kind of fits into that category. Just from what we've seen, I mean, maybe he's going to be like one of the main faces of Raw going forward as the new commissioner. And if that's what happens, then fine. Maybe I'll have to reevaluate. But as it is right now, you're once again you're probably going into your fifth WrestleMania in a row, where you have not made like a new like big star. I guess that's not really fair. Like, so okay, Seth Rollins, you know, he came about last year, right? So I guess maybe I'm forgetting Seth because he's been out for a while and he's been hurt. But maybe you could say that they made a big star in Seth last year at WrestleMania. I think you could fairly say that. And I won't say Roman Reigns was made at WrestleMania, but you know, he was involved. Okay, but like last year, you know, there was an opportunity to make something out of Bray Wyatt. They failed at that. This year, I mean, I'm done with Undertaker. I am. But I really feel that at some point he should do business and elevate some young guy. Not John Cena. John Cena doesn't need it. Okay, but somebody should come along and like end this thing and get a rub going forward. And but even, you know,
I think you're overvaluing Undertaker's worth as a wrestler right now. I don't think him losing to say, in a perfect world, it's nothing to do with his work as a wrestler. I'm not talking about that.
You just I'm saying, overvaluing his work as a wrestler.
No, I think you're overvaluing his work, but what I mean to say is worth. I don't think him losing to some young kid is going to set that kid up for life. I mean, maybe in 10, 15 years where the kid's legacy is set and like, well, it all started with The Undertaker, but nobody's going to be hot by beating The Undertaker because The Undertaker is not going to go back. I mean, he's not going to come back. And then even if some young kid beats him, Undertaker will probably face him again in WrestleMania and squash him in WrestleMania. I mean, it's like, it's the framework that you have within the WWE. What I'm saying is that you talk about Shane and Undertaker. The Undertaker match at WrestleMania has been a throwaway every single time. The last time it wasn't was Brock Lesnar. And the thing about Brock Lesnar was that it's like, oh, the thing that made it a big story was because Brock actually beat him. But every other time that The Undertaker's on for the past 20 flipping years, nobody cared about that match. I did not care about an Undertaker match to save my life. And there hasn't been one Undertaker match that I looked forward to. And this is finally one that I'm looking forward to because at least there's some storyline involved with it.
Well, I'll say you didn't care about it, and I didn't care about it. And generally, I still don't care about Undertaker matches overall. But I don't think we can necessarily say that nobody cares about it because
I never said that.
You just did
say. I said I don't care about it. Me as a wrestling fan, I've never cared about the Undertaker match. I haven't. I don't care about what anybody else thinks about The Undertaker. All I'm saying is that for the first time in a long time, I actually care about an Undertaker match, where before, it's a throwaway match at WrestleMania. I could care less what other people think. I personally don't want to watch an Undertaker match, and this is the first time that I've wanted to see an Undertaker match in a long time.
Okay.
Did you get stumped?
Yeah, because you keep saying, you start off with nobody wants to watch this, and then you come back and I don't care about what nobody says, like, I don't want to. I get that. I know you don't want to, and I really don't want to. This, has some intrigue for me more because of Shane. But I think the point I'm getting at is, despite the fact that you and I know that, like there's really, we don't really have any care or interest or think that anyone is going to be elevated based on what the Undertaker is doing in the ring these days. I mean, if you look at just the way that they promote any given guy, right? All it is Michael Cole spouting off like X amount of title runs, X amount of this, X amount of that, and that's how they set these guys up. And these people, and like the majority of like sheep fans that are watching this say, oh yeah, he won all those things. This guy's the guy. Okay, even if it's some cheap win, you get some young guy to come in and beat The Undertaker, and then you got whoever, Cole, Ronaldo, whatever, spouting off that this guy is the guy that, a young guy that beat this guy. That's going to hold weight going forward. Okay, they're not going to give it to somebody just willy-nilly. But, I mean, it should mean something. It could mean something. If Bray Wyatt did it last year, for instance, and you had a whole year of them, Bray Wyatt, he's done this, he's done this, he beat Undertaker at WrestleMania. Okay, that would be like...
What would be the result right now?
I mean, it's nothing without booking, okay, but
I think that's the main problem right there.
Right. Yeah, clearly. But, well, everything has to be, done right. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and just say, what's the whole point then? Like, let's just say that, like, they should keep having bad matches and throwing out bad matches because they're not going to book it right in the long run anyway. All I'm just saying is what would be good? What would be good that would be something they could build on to go forward?
Bring all your top guys from NXT and have them actually wrestle matches with people that know how to wrestle.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's not going to happen. Not right now. I mean, it'll happen in the long term, and we're sitting.
Well, waiting. I don't know that. That's the point. You don't know.
There we go.
Right, but you don't know if it's gonna. I'm saying this is what should be happening. That's all I'm saying. I didn't say this is what they're gonna do. Okay, I'm saying what should be happening is instead of continuing to give me Triple H and Undertaker in your WrestleMania main events, which I don't care about either one of them, take any of the litany of young stars that you have and do something with them. That's all I'm saying. And then you can't say, well, that's not going to happen. Yeah, well, maybe it's not. But that's what they need to do if they want to have a company that sustains going forward.
Well, that's
or if not, in 10 years, I'll still be watching Triple H coming out as the world champion.
Yeah, probably.
It could be, but it doesn't make any sense.
He has two or three more title runs.
He probably does, and John Cena's probably got another seven.
Yeah.
And at that point, they might as well give The Undertaker another championship run, too.
My whole thing is it's nice to say, but, and that's what my original point is like, you have to take it for what it is, right? And like, it's not right, but I mean, what are we going to do about it? You know, I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. And the whole thing is we just have to kind of sit there and wait and wait and wait. Mm-hmm. And I'm just waiting for these guys from NXT to come up and see what the heck happens. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. And I don't want to like go into semantics about how I said something and what I actually meant. It's like, I think we're saying the same thing. It's just that I say it in more generality, I guess, but all I'm trying to say is, and while I cough, is that The Undertaker, I feel like I'm you over here, dude.
God damn it.
At least I'm like, this is the first time that I'm actually interested in an Undertaker match, and it has nothing to do with Shane being in there or like what the wrestling match is going to be. There's a valid storyline, and in the past, there hasn't been really any strong type of storyline with The Undertaker. It's like we're supposed to be in awe of The Undertaker because 25 years ago, he was a force to be reckoned with. At least now, without having to do a drawn-out storyline where it takes three or four weeks to drum up support and have Undertaker come back and do all the talking. I mean, I was afraid that The Undertaker would face one. I mean, they were talking about Undertaker and Undertaker and Bray again, right? Because from the Fastlane match, it's like,
well, you know who wanted to fight him, right? Kevin Owens. I mean, he made a hard pitch to go Undertaker, and they wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
And that's one of the better guys that you got on the roster that could do it.
So he could lose to The Undertaker.
Even if he loses, he still has a better chance. Like his wrestling style, I think, could go well with what Undertaker does. The guy, I mean, he's got a decent amount of size. He can move, and he can sell, and he could make The Undertaker look good. And I think that would have been. I mean, and he knows how to psychology. He knows how to work a match.
So you'd rather see Kevin Owens versus Undertaker than Shane versus Undertaker, with no storyline whatsoever.
I don't know if I like the storyline. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like,
well, thank you. I mean, right. now I understand where you're coming
right.
from.
Right. This is what I'm saying is like, okay, if you introduce Shane on Raw. And Shane came back and that's it. And then you go through a couple of weeks of Vince antagonizing him or egging him on to the point where he gets him into this match. Okay, fine, I guess. Because then if it's done well, at least you've built towards some story. But he just comes out of the blue after being gone for 7 years and throws all of his ownership stake on the line for some match he doesn't know what even the match is going to be just within 5 minutes of showing up. Just doesn't make sense to me. That said, I am excited not for the more to see Shane in the match than Undertaker. Like, my thing with Undertaker matches at this point is I know the Undertaker can't work a match, so it really depends on who he's going against, right?
So you're talking about ring work and match work, and that's what you're more interested in seeing. Where I'm talking about, I don't care what how the match is going to be, I don't care what happens during the match, I'm more interested in the storyline.
I could get to a point where I'm more interested in what the storyline is going
to
be.
Well, I don't want you to. I'm just saying right now.
Could be.
Yeah,
I mean
see, because to me, like talking about like Shane McMahon in the ring and how he's going to perform in the ring, I really don't care about that. And I'm not saying to stop talking about it, but right. I think we're finally kind of figuring out where you're coming from, where I'm coming from.
Right. I mean,
and we went through NXT, and we went through all these other guys and Kevin Owens and
yeah. Well, I mean, I want to see good matches, and. The storyline's going to shake out like you said, it's going to shake out however it does, whether they write it well or not. You know, the story's going to go forward. I just would like to see it kind of planned out a little better and make a little bit more sense. But in terms of something in the ring, if I got to watch an Undertaker match, let me see someone that can make the guy look good. Right? That's what it's going to be. They can work with the guy.
The way the WWE product is now, I really don't expect good matches.
Right.
Right? I mean, and... Well,
this... Sorry, not to cut you off.
There are good matches.
This is what I kind of expect in something like this. Like, the undercard's going to have to tear it up, because once you get to the Undertaker match and the Triple H Roman Reigns match, it's probably not going to be very good. That's kind of what it is. So, like, all the guys that I really want to see, all the guys that I think are good workers that put on great matches, you just hope that they can make it on the undercard. And that's it. I mean, Kevin Owens, I'm hoping he's going to be on the undercard and fighting against somebody good.
I hope he doesn't fight against Dolph Ziggler.
You know what? Even switch gears real quick, because this is the only other match that's booked. I really like the Brock Lesnar, Dean Ambrose feud and match going forward. That is a match out of the three that are booked. That's the one that I'm the most interested in. And I will tell you why. Okay, so, like, storyline wise, I think that Dean Ambrose can carry it, like, just because he's got the crazy factor. You know, it's always like, why would this guy want to fight Brock Lesnar? It's always like bringing in big, like, physical monsters to go against him. This guy's got, like, he's small, he's not that, but he's got the kind of craziness going. But the thing is, like, it's so typecast, the guys that fight Brock Lesnar all the time. It's only like the completely established elite, John Cena's, Triple H, Undertaker. There's only been a handful of guys that have actually been allowed to fight matches against Brock Lesnar, and it's like guys that like have the mystique, the personality, or what have you. But I have never seen matches with Brock Lesnar just going against some mid-card guy that's a pretty good worker. And I think that's what Dean Ambrose is. This has a chance that win or lose for Dean, like, he could get a rub off of having a match with Lesnar. And it's just something different than the guys that Brock Lesnar has fought against. So I am curious to see this. There seems like they're making Lesnar, and this could be bad in the long run, but they have really protected and made Lesnar like this big attraction where he's only going to fight certain guys, and it's always going to be kind of attracted or related to the belt somehow. And now he's going against just like a guy that's a good worker that can maybe put on a good match. So I that's a match at this point I'm looking forward to. You? Not so much?
So it's funny that you kind of, with this match, you look at the big picture with the whole, the way Brock Lesnar is, and I appreciate that. And I'm going to turn around and say that I'm like looking at the specifics of the match. And I was on board until the second that he said it was a street fight. I really don't want to see a street fight between Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose. I'd rather just see like a regular match. Mm-hmm. I'd be more interested in that than I don't want to see a spot. I don't want to see any stupid aluminum tinfoil garbage cans. I don't see any of that garbage, you know, like kendo sticks. That's not a match that I want to see Dean Ambrose or Brock Lesnar have. Both of those guys are good. I mean, I don't want to say good enough. Both of those guys are great performers. And it should, I think, all the street fight stuff, whether they go in the boiler room or the bathroom or something, that match is so played out. And I'm really not interested in seeing that match. Mm-hmm. I agree with what you're saying. I don't agree with what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying, but I don't, because I think Brock, especially the way they play this guy out, especially with the crossover appeal that he has, I think that he should be in a bigger style type match, and I think that's the fault of the booking at the same time, right? That's the problem that I have, is that Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar versus Dean Ambrose for the title, I think it's way better than anything Triple H can do. I think Triple H threw a big cog in this WrestleMania, and I really think your two hottest wrestlers that you have going are Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose. Have them fight for the title, right? Have a vacant title or whatever it is. Have a vacant title. I don't care. I mean, put Triple H out of commission where he can't defend the title, and he, and you know, and Shane McMahon, after he wins last, you know, the last Raw, you know, this Monday's Raw, and he beats whoever he needs to beat so he can control Raw, he can strip Triple H of the title. You have Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar as your main event. But that's the problem with the booking, right? I mean, they can't get off the Roman Reigns sinking ship. I am not interested in this. I mean, I think the match is good. I was on board, but the second that he said street fight, it just blew it out of the water for me.
Yeah, I'd rather have it be more of a regular match, or if they want to go no DQ, but I'd prefer that they keep it in the ring than be walking all over the arena. That I agree with. All right, let me take a different angle here then, because these things keep kind of coming up.
We're fighting each other today, dude. All right, which is good, right?
Yeah. All right. Here's I'm going to pose a question to you. Okay, who is right now? Who's the number one person that is fucking up WrestleMania?
Language, man. Language. It's Triple H. I mean, by far.
By far.
Yeah. Oh,
no question.
Yeah.
Okay, so the number one guy that's messing up WrestleMania right now, he's throwing the monkey wrench in the gears here by being the champion, and is making everybody else go into some position that doesn't make any sense. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
All right. Who would be the second most person that's messing up WrestleMania right now? Booking committees aside, like what? Just like performer wise.
Oh, performer wise.
Yeah.
That's tough. Well, yeah. I mean, it's always the Undertaker.
Undertaker.
Yeah. I mean, are you trying to lead me into what you want to say or what?
No. I'm just the whole conversation we're having. It's like we can't even get to like what we'd like to see.
I think the top three guys that are messing up WrestleMania. I'm not even going to say top three guys, because I do like the Shane Mack and Undertaker match. That's the match I want to see. I think the top two guys, it's going to be through every fault of his own, Triple H, mm-hmm. and through no fault of his own, Roman Reigns.
So Roman Reigns more so than...
than Undertaker, yeah.
More so
because
than
Undertaker. With the way the match is set up, right? If we're talking about WrestleMania as it is today, mm-hmm. yeah, it's those two guys. And the sad thing is that it's not Roman Reigns' fault. I mean, it's just it's a backlash that he has. I think the more they push him, the more people are going to rebel. And I don't want to watch a wrestler that I like get booed, mm-hmm. right? I mean, and it's not even like a good boo. It's just it's stuff. It's things that I mean, the boos are through no fault of his own, and nobody can get past that, you know. And the whole thing is that they'd rather. I mean, who would you rather see? Okay, Dean Ambrose, but I don't think Dean Ambrose. I mean, you know what? I don't think Dean Ambrose is ready yet.
All right, how about this? Is Dean Ambrose better than Roman Reigns right now?
In terms of character, or in terms of the ring,
in terms of would you rather see Dean Ambrose as the world champion than Roman Reigns right now?
Yes. I think I would. I mean, but it has no bearing on his ring work, because I'm not a big fan of his ring work right now.
Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, but I think
because we can kind of agree, while Dean Ambrose has a better, he's developed his character better, and I think Roman Reigns plays really well off Dean Ambrose. But as individual characters on their own, I think Dean Ambrose is more better developed than Reigns.
I
think Reigns is better in the ring than Dean Ambrose is right now.
Yeah, I think so too. And the sad thing is that I think Dean Ambrose is better protected than Roman Reigns is as well. Roman Reigns is getting all the heat, and Dean Ambrose, okay, listen, Dean Ambrose has a type, he has a character type or a character archetype. I'm not a big fan of that character arc. I'm not a big fan of that character. I his promos, I mean, when you just say like, oh, he's a crazy guy, so he can say whatever the hell he wants to say. And it's not that good. I mean, he's not that good at doing it. I mean, there's the interviews that he has with Renee and stuff. I think they fall flat. I don't think they're that good. Can it be better? Yeah. I'd rather see Dean Ambrose as the champion, because I think that he could develop into the role that he's going to be put into. I think his character has enough freedom where he can develop into a character that I think people are going to follow even more so. Along the same lines as Seth Rollins, and that's the biggest thing that I have the problem with, is that when people forget, when Seth was first a champion, he did not have a good first 2 to 3 months, but they stuck with him, they allowed him, they gave him more freedom, they gave him more time on the mic, and he started ripping it, and he was the hottest thing going. I mean, he was like he was like as close as you can get to like the Macho Man of his generation, right? Putting on great matches, could talk, had a good look, and I think Ambrose is closest to fit that role, but you have to be patient. And I think with Roman Reigns, they're trying to push the John Cena route, and that time is done, dude. I mean, it worked, quote unquote, with John Cena because John Cena sucks, but people like him for some stupid reason because you have enough sheep to follow the WWE bandwagon, and that's not the character that Roman Reigns is. If they kept Roman Reigns as a quiet guy, didn't say a lot, just did all of his action in the ring without having to try to talk and smile and you know, kiss somebody's grandmother, then I think he'd be in a lot better spot than he is. But they try to put him in the mold of a John Cena. That mold hardly ever works. And I will give John Cena some type of credit because he's able to take that role, even though he pisses us off. And it's kind of like the same thing where I said, I don't care what people think. But it works for the company. It makes money for the company in that way. But you can't plant a guy in there. And it's just like the same BS all the time, right? It's like with Hulk Hogan, right? It's like the same thing. It's like Hulk Hogan could do that role. And then Macho Man stepped into that role, and I think he did a better job because he was a better performer. And then they had to put it back on Hulk, and then lo and behold, they're like, oh, here comes the Ultimate Warrior, and he can fit Hulk Hogan's shoes. And they tried to find their next Hulk Hogan for such a long time. And I think what gets overlooked is that you had Bret Hart have a great run. It didn't do a lot. He wasn't a great draw at that time. Shawn Michaels, the same type of thing, and there's that transition. It's time for a transition champion because you have a bunch of young guys coming up through the ranks at NXT, but it's scary, right? I mean, it's like, it's funny, like, you know, Stephanie McMahon says they're a $1 billion company. Okay, then live off your flipping billions and build up a better product. So that's the kind of problem that I have. I don't know if that would really answer your question, but and maybe you didn't want the question to go in that direction, but I mean, they're in transition right now. But the only people that don't know it is the company.
Right, and it's kind of like if you want to compare it to a sports franchise, right? It's like when you got bad ownership, and they can't settle on the players that they want to have. So instead of like just breaking it down, rebuilding, you know, finding you know what your core is to build your team around, and then going forward from there, they're in this always perpetual state of flux where they're afraid to give it to the young guys. And then they keep kind of holding on to what these older guys have left because they know they can get away with it. But at some point, I think it's gonna catch up to them, and you're gonna lose a generation of really good performers not getting an opportunity to really see, you know, if they could maximize their potential. Like guys like Dolph Ziggler is never gonna get an opportunity to see what he could have been because they were always afraid to like let that guy, you know, see what he could get to. Or even Daniel Bryan, you know, for a certain degree, was stunted. You're never really going to get the opportunity to see, like, how good Daniel Bryan could have been or what kind of run he really could have had because they drug it out so long. Or CM Punk because, you know, they didn't want to.
Well, I think CM Punk did get his run. I mean,
he got his run, but, yeah. You know, he should still be, you know, either in it and in the picture or you know, being in matches that are helping some of these next guys kind of come through and get to the top.
So the guys that they should have be hanging their hat on right now that are established guys are no longer in the company either through injury or through disputes, right? I mean, with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, you had two guys that you could hang your hat on for the next 5 years, and it'd be even more interesting to have like a guy like AJ Styles come in and face one of those two guys. Exactly. And instead of like a Chris Jericho. I mean Jericho's Jericho, but
I think AJ and Jericho are doing a great job with it.
The problem I have with AJ Styles is that, you know, he's not young. I mean, he's kind of in this is like his last leg of his career. I mean, you know, like as a really viable person, and you can't shoot that guy to the main event because that's not, you know, it's like the same thing, right? It's the way the booking works. But you know, the AJ Styles, I mean, let's not jump up and down for the AJ Styles Chris Jericho match. I mean, it was the matches are solid, but they're not great matches. And I think with Jericho, I have no problem with Jericho, but I think Jericho is one of those guys that needs a prolonged like push where he's winning all the time to build his character up, right? Because right now he's like, he has his character, but what does he base his character off of? Because when he's talking, or when he enters the ring, You don't have Michael Cole calling the first undisputed champion. I mean, they do a little bit with the Intercontinental Championship. They do it every now and then, but it's not like enforced over and over again. And the guy wins some, and he wins some, and he loses some. And I think, you know, if AJ Styles is kind of like your last, like maybe a guy you can hang your hat on for a while, okay, you can go through Jericho, but then who do you go through after that? I mean, you know, they're not going to put him against Dean Ambrose. They're not going to put him against Brock Lesnar. They're not going to put him against Roman Reigns. It's just kind of, you know, because he's second tier right now. So it's just, you know, it's just, I don't know. I don't want this to sound like I'm down on the company because...
Well, here's why I'll answer your question, and I think this is a positive.
Did I ask your question?
No, you said who do you put Dean Ambrose, who do you put
I was talking to myself.
AJ Styles against because, you know, you can't put him against Brock, Dean, this and that. You put him against Kevin Owens. I think he's got already history with Kevin Owens. And then this is where they really have to start relying on NXT. You start bringing up Devitt. I mean, there's a ton that you can do real soon with Finn Balor and with AJ Styles building off of their past in Japan. Pretty soon, Gallows and Guns will be around. Pretty soon, Nakamura will be around. I was listening to the Styles and Chris Jericho podcast. The guy he really wants to wrestle in WWE that he said is Neville, because they used to wrestle a lot in the indies as well. I mean, you can do something there. Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe, and AJ Styles. There's a ton of history between these guys. So, and all those guys that are in NXT, those are the guys that they should be trying to build up. These are the guys that, you know, if you do it right, these are all guys that next year or 2 years WrestleMania down the road, these guys should be your main guys. You know, Seth Rollins will come back in a few months. Seth Rollins and AJ Styles have history. So it's all there. All these guys, they've wrestled each other. These are the best performers they have. Okay? And I think that at some point, I mean, I'm not saying that they're going to.
Why do you want these NXT guys to come up? Because you enjoy watching NXT, right? Mm-hmm. You enjoy watching NXT more than you enjoy watching Raw.
Sometimes.
But if it was your choice to watch the NXT or to watch Raw, which one would you pick?
I'd probably watch Raw. Just in that, I really like NXT, but NXT is still, you know, the majority of it are like straight job guys, and then you know, there's usually the main event on NXT is really good, and then there's a couple of squash matches. There's guys that I like to see, but I want to see those guys make it to Raw, and I want to see them be the guys.
But why? I mean, because I think you have a history enough of guys coming through NXT and then just kind of not doing nothing.
Well,
I mean, it'd have to be like a whole change of focus for that company, right?
Yeah, well, to me, it's pretty obvious who's going to make it and who's not once they jump. Like, I think Neville is the one guy that is doing a lot better than I expected. I never expected Bo Dallas to transition well to the main roster. I never got Ascension. I never thought they were going to do well on the main roster. Wyatt's I never saw on NXT, so I didn't know what to expect. But these other guys I've seen, other guys that I've seen make the transition, I'm trying to think of like other guys that I've seen come down there. I mean, they're good. Like Zayn, you know, he had the one or two matches on the main roster. He got hurt, but those were great matches. That was not a surprise to me. Samoa Joe, I know 100% translates to whatever he's on. So you put him on there, as long as you're gonna. And yeah, again, it all goes back to booking. But, you know, these guys, like Balor, Joe, Zayn, American Alpha, they have the ability that you put them on the main roster and you have them and you put them in matches correctly, they're going to do well. The two guys, Dash and Dawson, same thing. Okay. There's other guys they're bringing up that even though you booked them as best you can, Fandango, for example, nothing's going to happen. Adam Rose, nothing's going to happen. It doesn't matter what you do with them. It's the proverbial lipstick on a pig. Okay, it doesn't matter what you do once you bring them up to the main event. They suck. Okay, but these guys that are down there right now, I think they're mostly down there because they're trying to sustain NXT as a brand. But the top, 15 to 20% of the NXT roster. It's just straight up better performers than 50% of the main
roster. And that's the problem. I mean, that's you have a farm system, and the top guys in your farm system are better than half the performers on Raw. I'd probably say they're better than 90% of the performers on Raw.
But
when you start bringing in Nakamura, you start bringing in Guns and Gallows. Gallows, but. But that tag team, Satin Jacket tag team,
yeah, Dash and Dawson.
I mean, they're
American Alpha.
Yeah,
I'm not going to guarantee that Kaz and Enzo would translate to the main roster, but I think just in terms of promos, I think they would do well on the main roster.
But the thing is, Balor and Samoa Joe, right? Balor and Samoa Joe, you can say that those two guys are better than 90% of the people right now on Raw.
Sure.
And that's the problem that you're running into, is that you're developing a farm system that's better than the big leagues, and it really doesn't make any sense. And instead of, you know, it's just kind of
here, and let me jump in before I lose train of thought here, because what you're saying is correct, but it does make sense if you want to build this farm roster. What doesn't make sense is for you to not take them up to your main roster and make something out of it. That's the problem. If you want to, you know, make sure that you're bringing guys from other countries and other parts of the world and other promotions and teach them to go the WWE style, I got no problem with that. That's a good idea.
I have a major problem with that, but go ahead.
I think that's a good idea. I don't have a problem with that. For the company. Yes.
Yeah.
But then at a certain point, you need to put them up there and make something out of them on your main roster. And the problem is you either bury them in NXT or you bring them up and then you bury them on the main roster just so you can trot out The Undertaker for his 50th WrestleMania. And
which
that's
always goes back to the point you're first
but,
trying to
but
make.
That's the problem. Yeah. Like, so what I'd be saying to do is you got to set a path to within next year or 2 years, you want these guys to be your main wrestlers.
Not in 2 years. I mean, it needs to happen.
Well, I mean,
it needs to happen next
year. I would do it. Yeah. I would do it now.
Yeah.
Okay. I think logistically, realistically,
I wouldn't do it right now.
If they wanted to, they could do it by next Mania, but I don't know if there's some kind of transition. But at the very least, by two Manias from now, I would if it was me trying to run that company, I would make it a point that, like, I'm phasing out trying to have WrestleMania built on guys like Triple H.
Let me ask you a question then. Right. See, now you're going to ask me a question, which I appreciate. But where are the biggest draws on Raw right now?
For me?
No, I'm talking about, not for you. I'm saying, like, as the company, what are the biggest draws on the WWE roster? Not for you, but in the stupid micromanaging of the writers and stuff like that.
I'm guessing now. Okay, I'm guessing that New Day is pretty close to the top. You mean in the writers' eyes, or like,
yeah, in the writers' eyes, yeah.
I gotta believe they think somehow Triple H is. I think Brock Lesnar is. I think Dean Ambrose. Probably New Day is somewhere right in that, like, kind of, or somewhere around the top five. That's probably it. Maybe Reigns somewhere in after that.
So out of all those guys that you just mentioned, the only real draw that they have, I think, like so that you just towed the company line, right? Which I asked you to do. Right. Out of all those draws, I think the only draw they have is Brock Lesnar. I think he's like the only legitimate draw that they have. I think Ambrose, New Day, Roman Reigns. I don't think Roman Reigns is a draw.
But you think he could be?
He could be, but he needs. He needs to turn heel, or he needs to revamp his character. There needs to be a storyline there. And with all those stupid writers, they should be able to figure that out. Because me and you could take over the writing. You know, and here's the other thing too: is like W says, like, well, you know, you don't know the whole writing process. You know what? But you're not listening to your fans, right? And there's plenty of storylines that you have. There's plenty of really good performers that you could do to make Roman Reigns a draw as either a face or a heel if you wanted to.
Yeah. And the other problem is,
well, I'm going to interrupt you before I asked you a specific question. And what I'm saying is that, so you have Brock Lesnar, I think, is really your only true draw. There really isn't I think you have stars. I think you have stars in Dean Ambrose. I think you have stars in the Wyatt family. I think you have stars in, I mean, the New Day. New Day's huge stars. And I think if they ever actually had any balls and decided to run with the Dudley Boys and have the Dudley Boys be like main big time heels, I think that'd be a tremendous draw. And I am going to support your argument with NXT is that you can take all those guys right now, okay, the top guys, you know, the handful of top guys, and guys like Nakamura. You can throw them on the main roster, and you can just have these matches upon matches upon matches upon matches, and see where everything flips and falls, because everybody's going to go crazy for these guys, because all these guys know how to work. I think once you get the competitive, I don't want to say juices, but kind of like the competitive fire between these wrestlers, they're going to try to outdo themselves. I think you have a setup for where you have a bunch of young, hungry guys, right? That are really going to start pushing each other and want to have better matches than everybody else. Where I think with the roster you have now, the people that do have that competitive fire, they don't have any equals. They don't have any, you know, New Day is so good that they really don't need to do anything, right? They can
cut a promo on a pay-per-view, yeah. and can be just as good as if they had a match.
I think you have, I think you have guys like Kevin Owens that cannot really reach his potential because he's by himself. He's an island, right? Everybody knows he's good. He is trying his hardest to be a heel, but people like him. So I think he loses credibility sometimes when he talks all that trash because I think he's trying to do it to gain heat, but he already has the heat. I agree with you. I think if you bring all these top guys, you know, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, Dash and Dawson, I don't even know the guy's name, but there's a whole thing about those two satin jacket wearing guys, right? That's what is their name? Dash and Dawson? Yeah. I don't even know what their name is. Okay, but I want to see them because when I saw them wrestle, I was like, these guys have it. But I still don't know their flipping name. But I know if I see these satin jackets walking in a Raw, I'm gonna learn who they are.
You gonna mark out?
Yeah, I mean, well, not so much mark out, yeah. but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like it's and I'm gonna kind of compare it to when you know there CM Punk was on the roster for a long time, and me and you didn't care about him because it was right when The Rock came back and there was CM Punk. I was like, okay, I'm kind of interested because I know a lot of people talk about CM Punk. I know there's a lot of indie love for CM Punk. When I saw him, I was like, oh, whatever. But when they gave him the freedom with the Nexus, then I saw it, right? You can do it with any of these guys from NXT. You can do the same thing, like give them some freedom. But it's just they're not built that way. And it's very easy for us to – I mean, it's very easy for us to say this is what they need to do. I just – you know, it's. I think it's frustrating. I think I get your frustration with Shane McMahon and Undertaker. I think if whoever you know, if we start off this argument where I'm like, I like this match, and you don't understand the logistics of it, then I will give you the win, because I think what you're saying is a bigger problem. You know, like there's no storyline involved with it. It doesn't make any sense. Logically, it doesn't make any sense. I think overall, if I can wrap this up so we can end this podcast, I think overall is that since there's no logic to anything, it's just more kind of like on the heel writing or on the cuff writing where, okay, we need to do something because Fastlane didn't generate what we wanted to generate. There's a lot of heat. So, hey, let's do the Shane McMahon thing, right? Mm-hmm. And it seems like an easy fix. And I think overall, like I'm looking at the Shane McMahon promo, I'm looking at the Triple H blood packet thing and going like, okay, now they're trying to do something, right? And I think what you're doing is you're looking at the overall picture saying they shouldn't have to do this because you have a ton of talent that you don't need to do that. And there can be better storylines and in turn not make the WWE products so much storyline based, but match based, which you kind of want. There's a reason why we watch New Japan every Friday because it's match based.
Exactly. Yeah. That, I mean, for me.
So
yeah.
you win. We be in, H.O. Good for you.
Yeah. I mean, now that kind of you're bringing that up, it's kind of open my thought process. You asked me, like, if I have to pick one, am I going to watch NXT or am I going to watch Raw? I'm going to watch Access, and it's because Access has the best matches. And you now, WWE has a roster that really could rival what New Japan had. But it's not the main event roster that could rival it. It's like the mid-card to the NXT guys. Okay, you have a ton of these guys now with the AJ Styles. I don't even need to go through the list, okay? But you have probably close to 10 guys that can all put on that type of match that we see on New Japan, like week in and week out. And that's the match that I think that's the match people want to see. I mean, yeah, there's room to. I would supplement really good matches,
yeah.
Yeah, with like, you know, a nostalgia act like Undertaker, maybe. But
if you're guaranteed a match.
Yeah, but I want to see...
If you're guaranteed a five-star match.
Yeah, because that's the thing. When did it become the point where they don't even try to make the main event the best match anymore? Because there's no way Triple H is going to be involved in the best match. And the way things look right now... You know what? Roman Reigns could potentially, if he's working with the right guy, be in like the match of the night. Because I think Roman Reigns in the ring is pretty good. I don't know if he can build up to it, but he has to be in the ring with the right guy. And him and Triple H... That's not the right guy.
And I don't think you're going to get the right guy until you start having five-star matches that you see in Access.
Right.
And I think that's where the disconnect is starting to come from us. And I'm not saying that New Japan does everything right, because I mean, we're seeing the best of the best, right?
Well, and there's some bad matches in there, too.
But the whole thing is that, for the most part, every card that they have has a five-star, or like, not, I wouldn't say a five-star, has a 3.5 to 4.5 match, and then when you get hit with the 5-star match, you're like sitting there going like, because like Ishii and Makabe wasn't a 5-star match. It was a very good match, but when you're done, you're like, I was tired after the match. It was like, dude, I don't want to see these guys. I don't want to see this match ever again. Yeah. I mean, I've seen two of them. I mean, these guys are going to flip and kill themselves, right, in this match. And they're not going to have longevity, because they're doing stuff that... I mean, they're doing, like, hard, you know, strong-style stuff. I think, you know, for... I don't think you've had... I'm trying to stop myself before I start coughing. you had, you know, for every big type of hoopla-type main event, you had a Macho Man and Ricky Steamboat, right?
Right.
And I think it was to a point for a long time where the main event was a good match, because you would have Stone Cold involved, you'd have The Rock involved,
Bret Hart.
And then I think people think like, well, you know, Triple H can have a match with The Broom and make it a great match. Well, Triple H is not that type of performer. He needs someone else to make himself look good.
Right.
But he has all the stigma of like being there during the Attitude Era. Triple H was a very good worker, but he never elevated anybody. I mean, he had great matches with, like, say, I think he had really good matches with Ric Flair. He's a very good, like, textbook wrestler, right? I mean, like, does the things in the ring that he's supposed to do, but he's not these guys that can bring guys to the next level.
Right. To me, the match that really made me start appreciating Triple H, and I said this before, was the match he had with Mick Foley. And I'm not even a Mick Foley guy, but that was a really good match. And like, they brought something out of one another. Mick Foley, I think, brought something out of Triple H. Triple H and Rock had good matches, but they were just a great physical matchup. But Rock has a ton of charisma, and you know, he was a pretty good worker for what he was.
He's a good foil. I mean, right. Triple H is a good foil.
Right. But if he's supposed to be the guy that's carrying it... It's a problem.
Well, he was a good foil. I don't think he's a good foil anymore. And I think if you want any history for that, you look at him versus Brock Lesnar. I'd probably say maybe look at him a little bit with Undertaker. But I mean, really, his matches with Brock were some of the worst matches I've ever seen. I mean, I fell asleep during those matches. You know.
And that's tough to do, considering Brock's put on some great matches over the last couple of years.
Ever since then.
Like, yeah. Ever since he's come back, the only bad matches he's been involved with are Triple H.
Okay.
All right.
Let's end this off on a positive note. You know, I think this podcast, this episode right here, I think it really speaks to what kind of we can sit here and say, like, what's wrong with the WWE? I don't think there's anything wrong with the WWE. I mean, because it's very entertaining. And, I think Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch, they've been having great matches with, I mean, Naomi's really stepped up.
Yeah, Naomi's been doing really well.
So you still have the New Day, you know, the Lucha Dragons and Neville versus New Day. You know, I mean, you can't, it's a good match. I mean, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, even Goldust and with the cake gimmick, right? That worked, right? Yeah. So, I mean, there's elements it's an entertaining product. But over the long term, it's like, we expect something more, right? And I remember 3 years ago when we were doing this and we were doing the Road to WrestleMania, we were just going like, what the hell is happening? Like, what the hell is this? Because it's not working. They have plenty of stuff working. I think our kind of what we've been saying over the past 6 months is that They have the potential. They have the potential. Well, now it's time to reach your potential, right? I mean, take these guys that you have. There's no way that Nakamura should be in NXT. Put him on the flipping main roster right away, right? I don't care if he doesn't, and I don't think you need to have the WWE style, so I don't care what the hell you're going to say right now. He should be on the main roster off the bat. He is that good. He is the best wrestler in the world today, and you're going to put him in NXT. I have a problem with that. So,
do you want?
No, I don't want you
me to respond? Okay.
Because I know what you're going to say. It's the right thing to do, right? But it's the way the machinations of these companies, the WWE works. They feel that they need to put him in there to season him. Well, I say put him out there and let's see what the hell he can do, right? I mean, because I already know what he can do because I've seen it. Because I've seen five-star matches from him over the past year. So he does not belong in NXT, right? I mean, like, make a splash with the best wrestler you have. But the way that system, the way the WWE is set up is that they don't even recognize that. I mean, they look at Nakamura and go like, oh, yeah, you know, he needs to be seasoned. It's like, dude, have you seen Nakamura wrestle? I mean, this guy can have a five-star match with AJ Styles right now for WrestleMania if you wanted to have it happen. So, I think what the gist of what we're saying is that I'm kind of right now, I see what the product for what it is. I don't really expect great things. It's entertaining to watch because I've kind of been dumbed down to the point where it's like I really don't care. But then the second that you start bringing all this stuff up, I do. I just don't want to keep on saying the same stuff over and over again where I think you are entertained with the product as well, but it can be better, and here's the reasons why it can be better. This is what they should do. And you're a lot more optimistic than I am, so that's a good thing.
I'm not even saying that I think this is what they're going to do. I'm not saying I'm optimistic that it's going to happen. I'm just saying it's like it's obvious and it's just laying out there for them.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even
have to
think.
This is like Shawshank Redemption where I'm Red and you're the other dude, right? I mean, you have hope, and Red's just kind of happy. Like, well, I'm in jail, you know. Like, you know, I think I want to get out of jail.
I'm just looking for some nice rocks around here.
Yeah. But you know, let's do this real fast. We're gonna put a guy in the in our I even forget what we used to call it, dude.
Hall of Kayfabe.
Our Hall of Kayfabe.
You got one this time.
I do, and he's gonna be our second active wrestler to be put in. The first active wrestler that we put in was Jack Swagger because we knew that he would never. He would never amount to anything. So right off the bat, we just said, hey, you know, for what he did and for the potential that he could have had, I think he could have had a really good career, but he's not going to go anywhere. This guy has actually had a pretty good career, and I think he's overlooked a lot. And I think he's always done right by the business, and I think he's always done what the company's asked him to do. And I don't think he gets the acknowledgement for it, and I don't think he's ever going to reach any higher than he has. But the guy that I want to put in is Big Show. And the reason why I want to put in Big Show is that you look at what this guy has done, whether he's been face, he's been heel, face, heel, face, heel, whatever they needed him to do, he's been their go-to guy to carry segments and to carry programs for a while. And I think he's been really misused over the past 2-3 years. And I think that if they would have stuck with him as, like, say, like a straight heel or a straight face where they protected him, where he was winning all the time, I think he could be a guy right now that could be in the main event, and it would be a big draw. I mean, right? You have a giant, right? Mm-hmm. Giant versus Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns slams a giant or something like that. I mean, there's something you can do with that, right? But he's been misused a lot. But you look over the course of his career, I think he's had a great career, and he's had a lot of good matches that I've liked over the course of the career.
Yeah. I mean, if we were going to wait, and then if he retired, Big Show, we'd go straight into the Hall of Kayfabe. So I don't have any problem putting him in there here as the second active guy to go in, and probably should be really the first. He's the best of the two between him and Jack, clearly. I think the thing that's really nice about the Big Show is he could have just kind of rested on being the quote largest athlete in the world and not developed his character. He had probably made it through like 10 years in the business with just kind of being big and wasn't a great promo guy or anything. But I think in the last 3 to 5 years, he really, really improved on like his mic work and building the character. So even towards the end of his career, he kept getting better and better. And he had a couple years ago where he was really viable for that world title and a main part of the title picture, him and Mark Henry both. So a guy that had a really long career, has learned how to work in like the, you know, for the body type that he has. put on really good, compelling matches, and been able to reinvent himself several times with this character, and ended up being a really good promo guy, which he wasn't in the beginning of his career. And then also, I think kind of you touched on it, but even more credit to him, this whole thing where they feel like they can turn this guy babyface and heel at the drop of a hat. It's not good for a wrestler's character. It's almost like career suicide. But I think it kind of speaks to the faith they have in that guy, that he can go back and forth and really doesn't lose any credibility in doing it. Anybody else trying to go back heel, I mean, and he takes a lot of heat for it on the internet too, but anybody else that was trying to go heel face that many times, they wouldn't be able to sustain a career. And for somehow, some way, he's able to make it happen. So kudos for him. And yeah, I wouldn't have thought about doing it until he retired, but I got no problem putting that guy in right here, right now.
First style he won was against... the first style he won was against Hulk Hogan.
On his second debut match, right? Yeah,
second title he won was against Ric Flair. And he was a good foil for The Rock when he first came in. And yeah, nothing else I can say about the guy. He's my youngest daughter's favorite wrestler.
Yeah, but and he retweeted her. He retweeted you that picture.
It was the video
that you sent.
Yeah,
for your daughter marking out when he came in.
And every now and then I still get like a favorite or a retweet off of it too, yeah. Even though it's like 2 years
old. Those random ones, yeah.
But no, that's not the reason why. But yeah, I mean, had a stupid program with Money May. And I think that's career suicide. But he was able to bounce back from that. So yeah,
And has that really bad crying gimmick going for a while, but he's still, dude, he's been able to bounce back from a ton of bad gimmicks.
He had a bad smoking gimmick in WCW too, where he'd walk to the ring and he'd be smoking a cigarette on the mat. You know, like the match is going on, he's smoking a cigarette and stuff and everything. So, really interesting, kind of career arc this guy's had. And then if you want to kind of follow up on him, he does a podcast with Stone Cold.
Did you?
I listened to it. Is it good? Oh yeah, it's really good. Okay. Yeah, and it's kind of, it's one of those things where you listen to the guy talk, and he's not that different from his character in the WWE. And I think it's even more so what you're saying, right? Like he's turned face heel, but he has like an overall persona about him or personality about him that translates in real life as well. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that far of a stretch of it. It wasn't like when I listened to Big Show talking to that podcast, it wasn't like, wow, that's the Big Show. I was like, well, yeah, no, this is a guy that I know. Mm-hmm. This is a guy I've known for a long time. And because sometimes, you know, like you'll hear someone, like Jericho had Epico and Primo.
Serpico?
Los Matadors. I'm trying to finish up here.
Sorry.
Don't get me on Serpico. But, you know, you hear those guys on Jericho, and they're very entertaining, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know, I wish that could translate on you know, on TV. Well, no, you don't have that problem with Big Show. So, yeah. Big Show's in the Hall of Kayfabe. I'm glad that we actually have one. We haven't put a guy in before. We're at Moosekill number 139. I have my boy, Benavide Jones, over here on Bad News Ramen, and we will check you out next week.
Sweet, sweet, sounds so sweet, don't you agree? I invented sweat, popping bottles, putting supermodels in a cab. Proof, I guess I got my swagger back. Truth, new watch alert. Few blows, or the big face rolly, I got two of those. Arm out the window through the city, I maneuver slow. Cut back, snap back, see my cut through the holes.
Damn, easy and ho, where the hell you been? Niggas talking real reckless, stuck man. I adopted these niggas, put them drumming in. Now I'm about to make them tuck their whole summer in. They say I'm crazy, but I'm about to go dumb again. They ain't see me cause I pulled up in my other bins. Last week.